Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 424. Science Faction, I call BS.
You know, we don't have to have a combative I call BS. We could just... What if you just taught me four science facts that happened? I don't see why.
Yes.
Because I'm not competing against anybody. Why?
You can say that again.
We don't have to kick the dog. Like, the dog doesn't need to be kicked.
Totally true story. Please stop kicking the dog. That is reason, and choose to play the game seriously and answer the questions to the best of your abilities.
I have told you every time I lose this game, I'm going to kick the shit out of a dog. That blood is on your hands.
That's true. But mainly it's just your dog. So really.
Yeah. Could you add some dog sound effects right there? Some dog yelping?
It'd be great if this entire I Call BS game was just a proxy because of my hatred for your dogs. One nipped me once 9 years ago, and this was my long-term revenge.
You're polishing the tires, finally got done cleaning the car, and my dog just comes over and lifts its leg.
And I go, science podcast, huh?
I'm sorry, Damien, you lost. You know the rules.
And speaking of a science podcast, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. If you're listening to this podcast, you're listening through the PETA boycott, and I respect that. No, well, because I'm technically an ape, a great ape. Your treatment of me on this show has actually offended PETA.
I thought you were talking about the gerbil thing. All right. Well, for those of you guys who haven't heard our show before, I Call BS the game where I read four science news articles, some of which are real and some of which are BS, standing for bad science. They can all be true or all be false or any combination of there in between. Now, normally we have a scientist guest host on the show who plays against Damien, but he has actually insulted them with his refusal to play so much that they have boycotted the show and they are not showing up. And so instead, Damien now has to play this game against himself here tonight.
In case you're listening to this podcast several years from now, we are currently going through a mandatory quarantine, or for a most part, voluntary quarantine in the state of California. All the scientists we know, the scientist is not...
Why is that, Damien?
Yeah, they're not here because of quarantine restrictions.
And why do we have those quarantine restrictions? Because you refuse to play I Call BS the right way.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I created COVID-19, to which I would say, how did he know I covered my tracks so well? By making love to that pangolin, I thought I had created the perfect virus.
First of all, I'm not saying that you are absolved from creating COVID-19, and nor am I saying that it's not you in combination with 5G. All right, everybody, let's get right on to I Call BS.
This is a witch hunt.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
Sad.
All right. Article number one. New research suggests that the ancient Amazon may have been one of the few places on Earth with independently discovered agriculture. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. Their cultivation of maize and alpacas have... long been documented on this show. You know what? They created soccer. They cultivated soccer and jujitsu. That's what they did.
You're being so racist right now. No, indeed. This is science, and it's very interesting. So we know about the Middle East. That was one place where humans independently domesticated, in that case, grains. China, where they had millet, and then later rice. New Guinea, where you had root crops and taros. Central America, where eventually you had corn and some other stuff.
Cocaine.
The Inca area, in which you had potatoes and a whole bunch of other stuff. And we now think maybe here in the southwestern Amazon. This is a really interesting place. I've said before that if I were to redo archaeology, like if I were to start archaeology now as an undergrad, what would I study if I could study anything?
Dicks, mostly.
Yes, well, I mean, like I said, if I was an undergrad, right? You know? You know, there's a reason that dorm is just a combination of the word dick and the word home, because...
You never want to leave.
Yeah, it's not, but...
You're like Peter Pan. I don't want to grow up. I want to stay in the dorms forever.
I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a joint bathroom kid.
The first time when I moved out of the dorms and somebody wasn't watching me poop, I didn't know what to do with myself.
The South American stuff is kind of the Wild West of archaeology right now, because there's really old stuff there. Very little work has been done, like almost none.
Fucking lazy cowboys.
South of the Inca territory, like nothing has been done, and there's stuff in there that's super ancient, like 10,000 plus years old, stuff that would be amazing and be super studied anywhere else, but it's not because it's far away from everything. A lot of it we're only finding by using LIDAR and looking at these huge trail networks that existed for tens of thousands of years, and because we didn't recognize the type of farming they had, like growing Brazil nut trees in certain places and that kind of thing. In this case, they used some aerial survey imagery and found a whole bunch of mounds, like literally almost 5,000 mounds.
Like the candy bar? Like,
yes.
With nuts?
Yeah, well, sometimes you feel like a nut, Damien.
And sometimes
you feel like starting South American civilization 10,000 years ago.
I personally have never felt that way, but...
They found these mounds, and they went out and actually studied them and did find that they were essentially early agriculture. And this agriculture was really interesting. So this is an area where the Amazon essentially floods over these big savanna plains, and a couple months out of the year, they're basically underwater. Well, what these people did is over thousands of years, they built up these mounds and then would plant their trees and crops and whatever on them. Not necessarily crops in a typical sense, but trees and food-producing plants on them.
Ayahuasca.
And then those mounds would stay above the water level when it flooded, meaning that trees could live. In these areas, these savannas, one of the reasons they were savannas, trees couldn't live there because the trees would get flooded over 4 months of the year and they would die. So because they would elevate it above the water line, they were able to stick around. And they basically provided a food source, including manioc and other crops like that, that allowed these civilizations to get by. We don't know who these people were. We don't really have a name for them. We're only just discovering now their technology. And keep in mind, in situations like this, rainforest type technologies, a lot of it is wood-based and wood rots away within days there, much less hundreds or thousands of years. It will be difficult to find the evidence of their mass-scale civilization, but we are already now seeing it in terms of huge trail networks that lead to what look like city centers almost throughout the Amazon. There is some amazingly interesting stuff, ancient old stuff in that place, and we are just now finding it. So if you're a young person studying archaeology, hey, try and get down to Patagonia and see what you can find.
And all allow right, me to describe to you what a vagina looks like, because it's going to be a long time till you see one. It looks like if a penis is an outie, a vagina is an innie. That's the best way I can describe it without getting very graphic.
You're right, Damien. It would be unlikely that a young archaeology student would be seeing a vagina. Because for us, they only come in pairs or more, you know? It's rare that you'd only be seeing one. In fact, I gotta say, though, one of the hardest parts about getting married was that I thought I got reverse hit on the head by a coconut. I was like, oh no, I've got halved vision, because all of a sudden I'm in a room with only one vagina.
Gotcha. You weren't secretly hinting to your wife, who listens to every episode, that you have a second family out there. You weren't saying that at all. So she shouldn't investigate this.
That would only make sense if they were in the same room or I was very obviously holding up a phone next to her nakedness. All right, article number two. A new paper shows that 50% of Yellowstone's cougars have been exposed to the plague.
Now, does the mountain lion make it that all the way to Yellowstone? You know, if we're talking about sexy middle-aged women, and by plague you mean HPV, then I'm going to say science. Absolutely. Okay. But I'm going to say that number is way higher than half.
Yeah, it would have to. It's like 80% of the regular population, yeah. Right?
Especially when you keep getting stuck and your stepson, who's killing it out there, like, you know, he helps you out and, you know, he starts acting up right then. You're guaranteed. Most MILFs, most cougars get HPV from unruly stepsons. That's a fact.
I mean, according to a lot of the short documentary clips I've seen, you're correct. And also, why do you keep sending me these?
Nothing, stepmother. No reason.
Indeed, this is actually science, 47% to be exact. And it doesn't necessarily mean they have the plague right now, but rather that they have antibodies to the plague. Though, out of 11 autopsies done over that time, 4 of the dead bodies actually did have active plague infections. The bacteria that causes the plague, it exists naturally in soil around the world and can get kind of picked up and transferred. It's called Y. pestis. And so because of that, it can just kind of pop up. In fact, there was a Boy Scout in 2015 in Yellowstone who ended up catching the plague when he was up there. It's not really a problem anymore because it's just a simple bacterial infection and it responds to most standard antibiotics. So it doesn't, it's not a big deal. It's not killing hundreds of millions of people anymore. But it is interesting that it's fucking up a bunch of mountain lions in Yellowstone.
Does it have the same effect on mountain lions as it does on people?
No. It just makes them like super hard.
Damn. That's one hung mountain lion.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make them bigger. It's just like, it's eager, you know what I mean? Like,
So I mean, like, it has a typical cat penis. It's not impressive, but it's hard. It's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's one of the things, that's why they always say, like, you know, if somebody gets killed by a mountain lion, like, at least he wasn't really hard, because he would have just, like, punched mountain lion penis-sized holes into the side of that dude's skull over and over again, which is actually how most mountain lions kill when they're hard.
Yeah, you can tell when a mountain lion has the plague because they have an erection and they're foaming at the erection.
Yes, that's true.
That's just cum. That's just aerated cum.
Well, no, but I do like the idea of referring to ejaculation as dick rabies now.
I'm foaming at the dick. That's going to be a saying.
All right, article number 3. Part of the Chernobyl exclusion zone, the area eradicated by the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear accident, is currently subject to a wildfire that is carrying radiated smoke out of the area, and that cloud will soon spread around the world, causing increased cancers around the globe. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. Chernobyl is so depressing that even fires won't start there. No.
The fire starts and then it just kind of leans over and goes, hey, why even bother? It's Russia.
It's going to snow here soon anyway.
To be honest, I'd be improving this place.
I am not here to bring up resale value. I am Russian fire.
I feel like Russian fire is like worse than regular fire. Like instead of burning your stuff like regular fire, it like insults it and steals its soul.
It kicks your dog as it escapes through the door.
This actually is indeed false. The area is on fire in the Chernobyl exclusion zone. There is a wildfire going through there, and it is taking radioactive elements up into the air. But that radioactive smoke won't spread around the world. Because of the size of the particles and the smoke and everything, it will settle in the immediate area, and it'll probably cause some issues, possibly some increased cancer risks and stuff in the locals. But then again, when you're living around Chernobyl, that's clearly not your main concern. Like, there's nobody on the outskirts of Chernobyl that's like, man, I'm just here to get away from like all the hustle and bustle of city life and grow my kids up in a rural environment.
Lucky Russians live in Chernobyl because they are not forced to live till full life expectancy. They are granted sweet death many years earlier. They are allowed to leave Russia the legal way.
Chernobyl is sought after land in Russia because it is bad to live near nuclear waste, but better than living next to other Russians.
Unless that Russian happens to be a bear on a motorcycle, those are cool as fuck.
All right, and article number 4. A never-before-seen ozone hole 3 times the size of Greenland has opened up over the Arctic. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science because if a hole that girthy had opened up somewhere on Earth, I would have known about it.
Oh, you have like a record of any holes.
I like to keep track of the holes I couldn't possibly satisfy, which is like 99% of holes on the planet.
Yeah, and most thimbles.
That thimble gave me a very negative Yelp review. Let me tell you what.
As a thimble, I'm used to being sexually satisfied. But let me tell you about this guy. Indeed. So this is indeed science, and it's pretty surprising. So you might have heard about the hole in the ozone layer that we talk about. But that hole, which is caused by a mixture of man-made chemicals, usually CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, which we've thankfully stopped producing, at least for the most part, though places like China still kind of do it under the table. We stopped doing that because of
that. That's why they have
the
best hairspray from China. That's why Chinese yes. hairdressers are amongst the best in the world.
But because we stopped doing that, it started flipping around the year 2000 and coming back the other way. And actually, last year was the smallest hole in the ozone in Antarctica that we've ever detected since 1982, because it has essentially been going downhill now because we stopped using so much CFCs. Now, it's not just the CFCs that cause the problem, though. It's when the CFCs combine with really cold air in the upper atmosphere. That's the reason it happens over Antarctica. Antarctica, in the wintertime, has really cold air. The Arctic has these fluctuations of air temperature and winds and stuff that usually just kind of level out the temperature enough so that doesn't happen, where it does over Antarctica. And the mixture of that really cold air with the CFC still in the atmosphere creates a hole that opens up in winter and then closes as spring comes in because the sun essentially warms up the air and it goes away. We noticed one over the Arctic for one of the first times ever. It has to do with a weird polar vortex that formed that basically trapped that cold air in the Arctic instead of where we normally see it in the Antarctic. And because it did that, a huge hole developed. And this hole kept expanding and expanding and going south. For a while, we were a little worried. In fact, if it does expand again, we might have a problem because...
It'll prolapse.
Possibly. People in places like Greenland might actually have to start wearing sunscreen in the winter because there literally won't be an ozone layer over part of their head. And the ozone layer protects you from cosmic rays, from radiation from the sun, etc. And so it literally is a protective measure. Now, it probably won't happen because what's happening right now is as we're hitting spring, that area is going to warm up in the northern hemisphere, and hopefully that hole will close up quite soon along with that warmth. But it is interesting that we suddenly see this, like we've seen a few little holes develop every once in a while over the Arctic. This has happened in small cases before, but nothing near this size. This is a completely unique phenomenon in terms of the size, location, everything else. Who knows if that means it's a harbinger of different things to come, but for now, it's a really interesting natural phenomenon that we get to observe.
So I got 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4?
No, you got like 1 out of 4? 0, -2 out of 4.
Okay, so we're just changing history on the fly. Like
No, that is history. McFly.
Do you have the sports book, the sports almanac, that tells me all my I call BS yes. answers?
Yeah, I could give you that right now. I'd just say lost. Everyone through 2024.
Yeah, I'm right next to the Harlem Globetrotters in the sports. No, I'm sorry, the Washington Generals in the sports almanac.
No, you were next to the Harlem Globetrotters because they also, in 2023, beat you in a game of I call BS.
They were using a ladder. Like, that wasn't regulation.
And for Science Faction episode 4107, we investigate the science of keeping it real.
Wow, he's just spinning that ball. It defies physics.
Much like Damien's refusal to win, I call BS.
Shut up, Meadowlark Lemon.
All right, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 424, where you learned all about ancient societies with agriculture in the Amazon. Why 50% of Yellowstone cougars have been exposed to the plague. Why there's a fire in Chernobyl, but you probably shouldn't worry about it. And how we just found a never-before-seen hole in the ozone layer 3 times the size of Greenland over the Arctic. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 425.
Hello, America. We understand things are not looking good for you right now. But stay strong. I have a message from Russia. Please kill me.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.